I just asked Heather, how do we know each other? How long has it been? She's been my biggest girl crush in business for 16 years. And while we're setting the slides up, I'm going to give you a quick sales tip on how I actually came to meet this lady. Now, back 16, 17 years ago, I used to speak on the stage for sales and in business. And there wasn't many women teaching sales. It's a very masculine type of education to do. And I had one man in Queensland I wanted to score as a client, and he had a financial planning business. And his name was Julio De Lafitte. And Julio was Brazilian. Where's my Brazilian man? Hello. And very high D behaviour style. And for whatever reason, I'd get on the call with him. I'd have a great call with him. And at the end of it, I hadn't been able to get the next step. And the next step was I needed to close him so I could train his team. His team holds presentations around Australia and they sell property from the stage. And then it just hit me one day and I thought, Annette, you're not following the system. You're not going to the next step and you're being too much of a high I on the behaviour scale. He's a D. Close him like a D. So I was like, right, that's it. And I rang him. I said, Julio, Annette. He goes, oh, Annette, how are you? That's my Brazilian. Yeah. very bad accent. But
do you know him?
Annette, how are you? I said, good. Wanted to let you know I'm coming to Queensland so we can sit down, have a chat and get your team trained up. How's next week look for you? He goes, oh, fantastic. I'll pick you up from the airport. What day? I go, what day works for you? Signed him up on the way to his office from Queensland. 1 month later, he says, I'm actually having an annual event with all our salespeople across Australia, all our BDMs. And so I'm sitting there in the back of the stage, just waiting, and there's this woman on stage, and I'm thinking, wow, this is the first woman I've actually seen on stage that speaks on business. And it was Heather. And I had a girl crush from the moment I saw her. Every word that came out of her mouth, I thought, she knows her shit. It's just not the width of what she knows, it's the depth. And that was 16 years ago. So imagine how much she has now under her belt. This woman has helped the likes and worked in teams with Anthony Robbins, who knows Anthony Robbins, Dr. DeMartini, Christopher Howard, some big US gods, and decided to finally go out on her own. And that was maybe 18 years ago.
A while.
Yeah.
So
Heather is the co-founder, the owner, director, CEO of Website Love. How great's that name? And Website Love builds high converting sales websites that work. She helps with marketing. And as I said, she now speaks globally. I think you do internationally and nationally on meta marketing and sales conversion. So we teach you how to get the lead to the sale. She helps you get that lead to want to get on that phone to have that conversation. So without further ado, let's have her grace our presence. Give her a big warm welcome, guys.
Thank you. Female crush right back at you. And Julio De Lafitte, man, I haven't heard that name in a long time. That's good. Guys, welcome. Hello. I should say hello and thank you for having me. My God, I'm so happy to be here. Okay, so we're going to piggyback and stack on all the things you've been learning and stack a little bit on top of what Ken just talked to you about as well. There's a lot to get through. I like formulas. Does anyone like a good formula? Yeah, totally, right? So Annette just said that I do stuff with Meta. I'm a trainer for Meta. I'm actually heading off next week to New Zealand to teach for them in New Zealand, which is pretty cool. So these slides, this conversation, these formulas I'm about to have with you are very up to date. Like as in, I had a chat with the team at Meta yesterday talking about what we should be covering next week. And they're like, make sure that you talk about all these things. So I'm sharing this with you guys today. So let's do this. Yes. Agenda. We're aligning your posts with three content pillars that attract attention, build trust, and lead to sales. I'm giving you some formulas around this, essentially. Repurposing content ideas to LinkedIn without doubling the work. Who posts on LinkedIn? Show of hands. Who wants to post more on LinkedIn? Show of hands. Nice. Okay. All of you guys, this is going to be prevalent to you. Boost. What works to amplify it? We will cover boosted posts just a little bit. I know Ken chatted with you guys about that too, so we'll do that. And then you have something in your workbook, which is a 6-week plan. We'll cover that at the end, so you can actually pull it all together and map something out to do some promotions and sales. So in marketing, there are two core types of campaigns that we run on social media: an always on campaign and time-driven campaigns. It's really important to have both if you're going to feed into the algorithms in Meta and LinkedIn and continue to be shown. So, overarching strategy is ongoing sort of evergreen posts that you would do. Campaign-driven strategy is with a deadline. So we have Black Friday coming up, right? Perfect example of a time campaign. Anything that has, it's like a moment in time that you promote something and then it ends. So you're literally essentially stacking these time-driven campaigns throughout the year to get results, while in between all of that, you're doing basic evergreen content. So always on campaign, things like education or tips. We have behind the scenes and user-generated content, which we'll talk about. Like cool, fun, behind-the-scenes storytelling, valuable sorts of types of information. Then we've got the campaign, which is sales-driven, very heavily sales-driven. Normally what I like to do is map out like a content calendar or a marketing calendar for the year. Look at what is relevant to you. Do you have seasonal moments that you promote? Like term intakes. If you're in the beauty industry, it might be something around summertime. If you're general service-based business and you always sell all year long, get creative. What can you do around seasons? What can you do around product launches? Maybe new team hires. Make events out of it. Make it exciting because we respond to deadlines. So we'll talk to that soon. Okay, let's talk some pillars. So with Meta, I'm honing in on this every time I talk to those guys. They essentially say there's 3 content pillars that work best for long-term results. How do they know that? Well, they have millions and millions of accounts to analyze, and that's how they know it. So pillar number one, and we rotate through these. Number one is the tips and the insights. Remember Ken how just said to you guys earlier, you don't want to go all out with like full education. It's not that. It's a little bit different. So it's content that gives like aha moments where somebody watches it and they're like, whoa, I didn't realize that. How do you know that? That's cool. I'm going to like pay attention to you. We also have content that's focused on solving customer problems with your unique angle, your unique way of talking. All of you have a background, wisdom, stories, pain, good things, all that in your businesses. So you talk about that through your own filters. And you build trust before asking before the sale. Social media is a discovery platform. Google is an intent platform. And AI. You go to these platforms and you know what you want, so you type it in. You know, best electrician in Northern Beaches, for example. You're looking for something. Social media, you're not. You're hanging out. You're discovering new things. So there's this formula of pillars that work, because when people are in social media, they're going to be at some step in the customer journey with you. They're either aware of a problem that they have or a desire of something they want. They're in market to buy something. Or maybe they're just a fan and they're following you and lurking and watching what you do. So you've got to hit these different moments in the buying process with your different types of content. So this one, Tips Insights, is really great for like kind of awareness, reaching new people, getting new people exposed to you and building trust. Examples. So this is like a little carousel of one of my carousels that I put up. Carousel is on Instagram, multiple slides. You flick through it. Insider tip, by the way. You think Instagram's all about video? I mean, it is. But in the last year, carousels are nailing it with engagement. I don't know why. Meta just says this is what's going on right now on Insta. Probably because certain parts of the market don't want to actually watch a video all the time. So instead, we just go on Instagram and we're like, cool, what's this? And you flick across it, right? It's just a little carousel. You might flick across for some images, some before and after, some tips like that. Should you be using Meta ads? And then I educate in my carousel. So videos work really well. So we have how-to videos, how to style a product, how to use a service, demos, how do you do what you do, explainer posts like FAQs, product comparisons, infographics, and tips and tricks carousels. Quick aha moments, quick tips, less is more. Show your expertise, show your wisdom, help somebody with the problem that they have with this content. Pillar number two, community. All right, it's social media, right? Community. So in this pillar, what we do is we connect, we build content that builds connection and shows the people behind the brand. So bring your audience into your business story, showcase your customers, create emotional buy-in before purchase. Community. It's about your team behind the scenes, your customers. It's showing that you're so much more than just a post that lives on social media. We buy from people that we know, like, and trust. And the good news is, I always say, if there's competition in your space, that's brilliant, because people are buying. What's great is this is the time for you to show how you're different, being yourself, right? So this, really cool. This is a production team POV video, so point of view. You don't know how to shoot a podcast, so you book with us. All this is like a smartphone video scanning a room of a podcast setup. You got the lighting guy, the mics, all of it. And there's nothing else going on. Like, there's nothing fancy. It's a scan of a room with text overlay, POV. Really cool. And then you're like, oh, these guys, like, know what they're doing without even saying they know what they're doing. They're just showing you what they're doing. This is more examples. So behind the scenes, BTS content. Some might argue this is the hardest content that you will possibly put out on the internet because it's vulnerable, it's real, it's unscripted, and it works the best on Meta. The best. It has the best engagement. That's why Instagram started stories. The pieces of content that disappear after 24 hours, it's on purpose. It's for you to take people behind the scenes of your business, vulnerably and real. You can do like staff intros or a day in the life of, right? Of you, your team. You can do customer testimonials or little shout outs to your customers. There's one little case study that Meta shared with me. Is it Cheerios? It's like a cereal brand in the States. It's called Cheerios. And they do shout outs all the time in their stories on Instagram. They randomly choose a follower and they do a customer shout out. Hey, at, and then they tag them in, at so-and-so, just a shout out to you for being an excellent human today. It's just community, right? Build your community. We have polls. Like in Instagram, you can do stickers on top of your, if you do stories or reels, videos. You can do stickers and you can get engagement and buy-in. Like ask me anything or a quick poll. Point of view or customer journeys. This, absolutely brilliant. Do it. Does anyone shop at ASOS? Do I even say that right? I do. Okay, cool. So really great little app with really, you know, shoes and products and stuff. So they do this sort of stuff all the time. What ASOSers have in their saved items. Okay, that's smart. We, by the way, I'll just backtrack on that. The number two most visited pages on an e-commerce website are bestsellers, back in stock. Why? Because we just want to buy what other people like. We're such creatures of social proof. So this type of stuff here, it's not even selling. It's sort of saying, hey, do you want to see what other people are saving in their cart right now? What other people are liking? Check this out. So it's some behind the scenes, just fun content, guy on the couch, nothing special. So that's community. So pillar number one, tips, insights. Only stuff that you will know and can share. Pillar number two is community. Behind the scenes, point of view, highlighting your customers, your team, interviewing staff, interviewing experts in your community, sharing that content. We know it as user-generated content. Pillar number three, we got to sell some shit. So in this one, what is it? It's sales-focused content to get purchases. However that looks for you guys. Hey, who in the room sells products, by the way, just so I can see? Nice. And then who services? Who does something else? Okay, cool. Awesome. So with that, this is the conversion pillar, right? So whatever conversion looks like for you. Sales, discovery call, book appointment, whatever that is. So this includes like offers, which I'm sure maybe Annette and Pete have spoken to you about. It's essentially packaging what you do in a unique and exciting way, something that's a little bit different from what's out there. So you're promoting that, you're doing discounts if you do discounts. Urgency triggers, such as 48 hours left, only 10 spots available. It's the ask in your campaign. So some of you might say, how do I do urgency if I'm always selling the same thing? You get creative. I'm going to give you an example. I'm doing a campaign right now for an educational company in the States. They're global. And she's like, I'm just not selling my courses. And I'm like, well, I know why, because you don't have a deadline. You don't have like a reason somebody should take action now. The second we put on deadlines, boom, sales take off. So much so, you guys, that it's like a six-month sales campaign online, and 90% of the sales happen in the last 2 days. The last 2 days, because it's like 2 days left. Get in now. I mean, I know it sounds cliche, but it is how most people are wired. We look for deals. We look for that nudge to take action now. So try and get creative. Come up with seasonal specials or ideas that can naturally fit into what you're talking about. Examples. Countdown posts. Behind the scenes, perhaps, leading up to the countdown or the sales moment. There's brands that plan this for months in advance for Black Friday. They will actually start doing countdown posts behind the scenes literally 3 weeks before. Or you have like end of financial year sales. It's like they're kind of sliding into your socials to say, this is what's coming, plan for it. We have announcements of new offers. We can do clear discount graphics as well. Customer testimonials about your promo. This is for a really cool client of mine that's up in Queensland. Recovery Center, they work with like professional athletes all the time. And this ad like got them so many sales. Is that even anything special? No, like not at all. It's people in their plunge pool. Like sauna and plunge, woo, from $30, ends in 2 weeks. And go solo or bring a mate. Like this, yes, video works, but you can actually be pretty like standard with your stuff. You don't have to be all flashy. This is in Canva, like pretty basic stuff, right? So play around with different types of content and posts. All right, so some formulas. Let's talk about some formulas for your posting. So with that, Facebook. Here's like a little checklist of what works on Facebook. Videos and images, both work on Facebook. Question for you guys. Who in the last week has logged in and used Facebook by a show of hands? All right, I'm doing this for a reason. Facebook platform, not Instagram. Yeah, no. About half the room. There is still a market there to put stuff on Facebook. Are you going to get engagement? No, probably not, unless you do ads. People use it for community groups. There's definitely a demographic that goes there still. I don't know if you guys know this, but it's declining in users. It's finally starting to decline in the user base. So it's interesting. Everything changes. Fundamentals of good marketing do not, and sales, right? Videos and images work. Square or portrait? So squares, or like that portrait, I have dimensions on the next slide for you guys. They tend to work best over on Facebook. That's a portrait. It's not full vertical. It doesn't fill the whole screen. Reels don't allow you to do long captions. So if you do a reel on Instagram, full vertical video, or if you're on TikTok, it's the full vertical video. The video fills the screen, and the caption or what you write is very much secondary. So on Facebook, it's still a platform where people like to see something and then read content underneath, which is why the 4x5 or the portrait works well. Posting frequency, roughly 3 times a week. This is what Meta says. You test and measure. But there's no space over there. So Meta's sort of saying, get your best content, think through it, use the pillars, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and rotate through those each week, essentially. 30-second to 2-minute videos for content. Longer captions, so you can write more stuff over on Facebook. People tend to read it. Tag other business pages in, if relevant. Like, if you're doing a little BTS content behind the scenes out in your community, and you just do like, hey, this is my favorite coffee place I go to in the morning, tag that business in. Be human, right? Show what you do in the day, like in your normal day, and you can tag local businesses in and build that real community vibe. Use a good thumbnail for your videos. I'll show you what I mean in a moment. Whoops, go back to that. That's my mate Donnie. So he has a very niche business. He does GPFR? Anyway, some sort of fancy report in Xero for accountants. This guy's killing it with these videos. I'm not kidding. Here's his business model. He once a year releases a white paper, which basically he interviews all his clients on how they use Xero. It's like the MYOB. And then he puts it in a downloadable document. And then he puts that out as a lead magnet on LinkedIn and Meta and promotes it to accountants. They come in, they download it. And then they go through his funnel. He just does these videos all the time. Chatting at his desk. Hey, here's a little tip about, you know, accounting, reporting. Nails it. So good. Like, it's quite simple. It's from his phone. Ratios, what I mentioned before. 1x1 square. That's the dimensions for that. That's good on Facebook. And that's great on LinkedIn as well. Portrait, 4x5. We have 1080 by 1350 pixels. That's great for Facebook. And then we have vertical, which is like filled from the whole phone. That's great on Instagram. That's great on TikTok. Insta. All right. Video and images work well. Not just video, like I said before. Images also can work really well over on Instagram, including carousels, flicking across. This is a carousel. Flick across. Shorter videos tend to do best, 60 seconds or less, roughly. Instagram's a place to have fun. Transitions, music, text overlays. You want to kind of be a little bit more creative. But with that said, you don't have to get all fancy with your edits. You can just literally do a walk and talking video, like hold the phone and walk and talk to it. And then you could put like a text overlay that says, the number one thing I get asked is. Find like a hook or a headline, layer it over the top of your video and just walk and talk. Sit at your desk. Frequency roughly 3 times a week over on Insta. And then we have, if you're doing stories over there, as often as possible. Now, I know some of you guys by now are like, God, there's a lot I have to do. What my hope is at this point in our chat together is that you're picking up on a few points for yourself. Not all of it. Please don't, you don't need to use all of this. But each of you are on a different journey using social media, whether you do it yourself or have a team. There'll be some points in here where you're like, that one, that idea, that's the one I want. Just jot down a few, and when we get to the formula at the end, the posting plan, you can start to actually put this into practice. Tag people in. Again, if you're at your local coffee shop and you're like, this is where I do my morning coffee, tag them in. It is a community. Social media is a community. If you do collaborations with other experts, tag them in. Stickers. So there's stickers over on Instagram I talked to you about earlier. If you use the Instagram platform, you layer on these little stickers on top of your posts, like locations, polls. There's little sliders that you can do with like love heart eyes, and then somebody can like drag it across saying, yeah, I like that. You have Ask Me Anything stickers you can load, where people used to say, ask me, tell me what you want to know, and then people can type in their questions to you as well. Shorter captions tend to work best on Instagram. It's more the video content that does the work, or the carousel short captions. Okay, I talked about video thumbnails. So this is two different grids on Instagram. So if I were to go on Instagram and go to my grid, my area where my reels or my videos are, this is what happens. So I have branded ones. You don't have to, you can. Or you can just randomly choose a video still from your video when you're uploading it to Instagram. There's no right or wrong. It comes down to timing and what you want to have your grid look like. This is just a really great focaccia restaurant. Donato over here just literally, like, look at this photo, like drool coming out of his mouth. He picked that, by the way. He's smart. He picks, like, thought-provoking, interesting stills of his videos where people are like, ooh, what's that? What's going on there? But you decide. Just remember that when somebody comes to your Instagram, they're going to see this. They're going to see a still image to represent your videos that you load. So use good ones. This as well, for the and I don't know if Ken spoke to you about this or not, but this is called the safe zone. Meta is highly driven by AI now, like everything, and it is putting your videos in random spots sometimes. People's feeds, sometimes it shows and fills the whole phone. It depends, and especially if you do ads, it's really going to put it all over the place in different placements. So what you want to do is always put your text overlays and your focal points in the safe zone, in this area here. Because as Instagram crops your videos for random placements, it might crop off any text overlays if you have them here. So just be aware. It's called the safe zone. And then that's also, remember, that's how that translates to your grid. It's pulled in that little portrait crop. So this is a look at, again, the safe zone. This is Ben. You see how some of his text is cut off here? So that's just an illustration of if you don't move in everything in the safe zone, when somebody goes to your grid, they might not necessarily see what you want them to see. All right, some messaging angles. This is kind of a fun part. I like this. So we all respond to different ways of talking. Some of us are more emotional. Some of us are more logical. They're just like giving us, coming forward. Is that good? Excellent. Thank you. Some of us are more logical. Some of us are more fact-driven. So if we're looking at this first one, let's talk emotive. This is when you are more heart-centered in your content. Focus on feelings, aspirations, frustrations, or fears. You're really speaking into the emotion somebody has when they might book you or work with you. They could be overwhelmed, they could be frustrated, they haven't gotten results before. Example, stop missing family dinners because of your business. Take your time back. This is tugging on some heartstrings. Works best when you want to connect personally and spark immediate attention. I used to do volunteer work for a women's charity or women's shelter, and we just had like all the ambassadors film from their phones talking about domestic violence and, you know, it's kind of what's going on in that space. Heartstring tugging, for sure. We have logical, brain-driven. So this is highlight facts, numbers, features, ROI, proof points. This is example. Our system has reduced operating costs by 32% for businesses just like yours. Works best when your audience is researching or comparing competitors against you. Some more facts. This is a tutoring center. And they do lots of facts, like lots of walkthroughs of their center. You know, we have 10 art classes a day, and you can book in 10 spots, and it's for kids between the age of 3 and 5. It's very fact-driven. Versus they might do other content that's like, after a course with us, your kid will paint like Monet. Kind of, not really. But it's that. We also have credibility and social proof types of messaging, which is trust-driven. So you use testimonials, case studies, and authority with this. Over 1,000 Sydney businesses trust us with their fit-outs, for example. Works best when your audience needs validation and reassurance between acting. This is a cafe, Marina Cafe. What we did for these guys is film lots of B-roll footage or lots of footage of the team taking food out to customers. Does two things. By the way, we only do it on the busy days. Does two things. You're seeing inside the space, you're seeing the food, you're seeing the team, and you're actually seeing a lot of people. It's like credibility, social proof. So with these ways of talking, this is really important, you guys. Normally, a third of the population prefers one of these. Normally, we create content in the way we like to be spoken to. You have to remember, there's other people out there that are not wired like you, and they want other ways of learning about you as well. This is a fantastic little formula. We have problem, agitate, solution. If you use AI to write your content, it will use this. This is one of the OG formulas of copywriting that's been around for a very long time. It's essentially this. It's three steps. And Ken even kind of mentioned roughly some formulas like this too. Problem. Ask a question or make a statement that connects with their problem. So let's do an example. Somebody shout out what your business does. Building. All right, cool. Are you going to residential businesses? Residential building. All right, cool. So this would be a problem. It's as simple as this. Are you looking for somebody to build your next house? I don't know if that's exactly what you do, but that's essentially as easy as it is. You're calling out their problem or the desire. So if we want to hone in on that even further, who is your ideal client?
Homeowners. We do mostly renovations and extension stuff.
Excellent. Okay. Specific type of reno that you specialize in?
Extensions. Just whole house renovations, I guess. Yeah.
How about something like this? Is your family growing and you don't fit in your home anymore? You could just literally pile out all these questions around that. Are you looking to, do you need a bigger home and you're looking to, you know, do an extension on your home, It is seriously that easy. You're just going, okay, who's my ideal client? What's the problem that they have? Why don't you just ask them a question? Call out to them. Brilliant. Thank you. That's great. Then you agitate. Just means you dive deeper into it. Hey, yeah, we totally get it. You know, it's expensive. Cost of living's outrageous. And nowadays, it might be better off actually just renovating your current house and, you know, adding on to it rather than buying another one. So something like that. You expand on your first point. And then the solution is, hey, right now we have a Black Friday special, but you get the idea. Right now, hey, why don't we jump on a call? Just DM us or click the link to book. It's essentially what the person is going to do with you. Is that making sense? Like it's literally that simple, like a good sales video. Problem, call out to what they want or the problem they have. Agitate, talk to that a little bit. Solution, what are they meant to do? Can be actually what you say in the video, and it can also be in your caption as well. It can be everywhere on your sales posts. This is, I work with a lot of different interesting clients. This is a pole studio, fitness. So look at this. Did you know that pole is an incredible workout? And it starts to go into it. There's so many did you knows and like, you know, are you looking to get fit? Are you looking to join in a community doing something different? All these posts, and she filled her classes. These are just B-roll footage. So this is like phone footage, walking through the studio, and then just editing it into an interesting like little flow, and then just asking really great questions at the top of the captions. So this is a really simple way of that formula and how it would work for a gift-giving company. Here is an example. Are you trying to find a unique gift for your partner? Problem. That's it. Literally as easy as that. Agitate. We know how hard it can be to find the perfect thing. That's why we've put together our love box, which not only has our top-selling chocolates, but also has a custom love note that you can include. Imagine how special they'll feel when you'll show up with our beautifully gift wrap box. That's all that explaining bit, right? And then you have just clicked the link below to buy online. Problem, agitate, solution. If you use ChatGPT or AI, again, you can even ask it, write me three posts using the problem agitate solution formula. I've seen companies fill their books using this formula. It's pretty powerful. Using headlines as well. So headlines can be text overlays on top of your videos that you share. Things like how-tos. How to insert thing that they want. how to find the right builder for your house. We have questions. Is paleo or vegan better for your health? Is now the best time to invest in renovation? Why? Why blogging is the answer to getting more website traffic? Why you should consider, I don't know, adding on to your home now versus in 2026? Why creates curiosity? We also have lists, adding a number on top. I love this one. The number one thing we get asked is dot, dot, dot. But you can do, here's three quick tips on XYZ, whatever you're going to talk about. A shock. I can't believe what I just witnessed. These are good too, by the way. Urgency, only 24 hours left. Scarcity. This one, guys, right here, this is a really great one. This will sell out. Pop that as a little text overlay on your video. It creates so much curiosity. People are like, what's going to sell out? Am I going to miss something? What is this? This will sell out. So we have some screenshots I've taken from videos that have text overlays. We have one on the left. What happened on Elizabeth Street, Melbourne today? And you're like, what's happened? I don't know. I want to see it. It creates curiosity. Oh my God, what did I just see? These are all kind of shock headlines. We have how I ate in Italy to enjoy myself with the 80-20 balance and came back feeling incredible. That's a how-to. You guys get the idea? So you can use these text overlays on top of your videos. When people are scrolling through your feeds, they're like, they see this text overlay like, ooh, cool. I might want to watch that. What's going on here in this video? And then you obviously have the video that's playing from there. And social proof, 2,450 people told us how they increased their revenue. ASOS before, the most widely saved cart items in the last week. Social proof. What 10 of our best clients have done in the last 12 months. That sort of stuff. Getting creative. Yes, you can use AI for this, right? You just say, hey, here's some headline formulas, or can you map out 10 headline formulas? I'm going to talk about this in my video. Give me some text overlay ideas for my video. I want a shock one, or I want something that's a how-to one. What can I put on my video? So here's how to repurpose your content on LinkedIn. How much time do I have? I just want to get a rough ballpark on that too. We got 10? Oh, good. Excellent. Good, so I have some questions for you guys. I'm going to stop here and actually address any questions you have. If you want to, like, tell me a little bit about your business and you want me to brainstorm some ideas with you, I am all about it. So, because I'm rapid fire hosing you. Yeah, go for it. Mike, we'll get a mic over to you.
Howdy. So my question's on stories and resharing stories. So we like to pump up people around us.
Great.
Just wondering how you think about that.
Sharing reels or sharing what other people put out, yes, till the cows come home, literally. It is it's a community. I always think, how do we use social media as a community to like scratch each other's backs? But the key is this, whenever you share content, give context. So you share it and you put like a little snippet of text when you're sharing it like, oh my God, look what my mate just accomplished. Or we just finished this project together, check it out. So you don't want to just share it without sharing text. But absolutely, it feeds into the algorithms. Essentially how algorithms work, you guys, is there's things called signals. And a signal to Meta is sharing, commenting, clicking, and reacting, like with emojis. So yes, brilliant. It also positions you as a thought leader, especially if you're sharing authority content. My mate Donnie here, who does the accounting stuff, he's always sharing like stuff from the ATO and like tax stuff, and he's boring. And he's like, "Here's something that's just happened, but I want to explain it to you so you actually understand it." And then he'll put like a sticker in his story, and he'll say, "Click here to actually know how this applies to you." So he's being creative with that. Another question, yeah.
So as a follow-up to that, one of our strategies is to say, 20 actions of commenting on other businesses or other people's pages.
Yes.
Liking and resharing.
Great.
But it's not spam. It's we're trying to, like, just connect and show that we're human. Is there something you're seeing at Meta at the back end on, like, metrics? We're just just freeballing it? Yeah.
Yeah. It's all part of that algorithm. So commenting is a big signal. It's all part of an ecosystem there. So whether you get comments on your posts, it signals that it's a valuable post, or if you're commenting on others, you're actually showing them that you have a valuable account. What this does, it is essentially anytime you do an organic post, Meta finds people that are active and have activity on their account, and it will share your post for more people for a longer amount of time. So yes, keep doing it. One tip, if you guys are doing comments, it's a great place to have an open dialogue. So instead of just saying, oh, yeah, great post, is there something valuable that you can actually add to what the person shares? Like, oh, yeah, I tried that, and have you ever thought of this? People are quite good at this on LinkedIn. They'll give more thought-provoking comments. But, yeah, keep doing that. Exactly. Good. Yeah, let's go. No, here and then there.
Hi there.
Hey.
We are a fast-moving consumer good. It's actually this deodorant right here. And we're looking to open up our
market. You guys?
Yeah.
That's you guys.
Well, we're part of the team.
You're part of the team?
Yeah, we're not the co-founders.
No Pong.
Yes.
I totally know it.
Okay.
Okay, sorry.
Fantastic.
I'm excited. Yeah.
This can be the example. We're looking to open our market way more to a broader, like, reach, a much, much broader reach, because it is a product that everyone can use.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about your three pillars, we are currently overhauling our funnel, right? And I'd love your thoughts on, in those three pillars, tips, insights, community, sales and promos, would you go content specifically of those three pillars for each part of the funnel, or is it, like, some more specific for certain parts of the funnel?
Okay, what I would do is I would actually think of a special campaign. I like my campaigns first. So, or you might be like a specific funnel, like what you're saying. So what's like a special you guys are doing?
We have a massive promo in November, but I think a good one we're discussing right now is a limited edition Secret Santa, which is a limited edition like Christmas product in December.
So you have a whole campaign around this because it's time driven, you guys. So you would essentially do content to promote that outcome. So it would be community content, which might be, in this case, if you don't have testimonials yet for that scent, you would do more like talking to the product developers and how did you choose the packaging and all of that. And then you would do education around why did you choose the scent and like, hey, and people might be introduced to you at this time as well. So you might have to remind them a little like about the formula and why it works and why it's good for you. So you think about content specific to your objective. Those are campaigns, specific funnels. And then in between all that, you just do evergreen. So it's like the top 10 reasons you should switch to Nopong versus like aluminium stuff, you know? So you have like your ongoing. Does that answer?
Definitely. And then I have the super small question, if you know the answer. For the sales promos, does Meta give any optimal sale period they found for maybe like, say product-based?
Okay, well, obviously the most competitive time is Christmas and Black Friday. It's insane, very difficult to get out there. Optimal time also depends on your market.
Length of sale promo.
It can be a month or 48-hour flash sale.
Cool.
There is no optimal. It depends on what you're promoting and how you're doing it.
Awesome. Okay, thank you.
So good.
No pom for you. Oh,
yes.
We were like hunting through our
bag. I love it. Thank you. Thanks. Guys, you're nailing the question. So good. I know there's one back here. So I'll take this one and then we'll continue on with some LinkedIn stuff. And if we have time, we'll do some more at the end.
Is there a preference for when you schedule a post using the in-app versus like a third party?
I get this question all the time. And I'm always up in Meta's ear faces. I'm like, does it matter? Does it matter? And they're like, not really, no. You just get your stuff out there. The one thing that does matter is this. You don't want a TikTok watermark on top of your content if you're repurposing from TikTok. That will decrease your engagement. But you can absolutely use a third-party scheduling tool versus the planner that's in Business Suite.
And if you are like posting sort of like just as is, we do a lot of like global work. Does it matter whether our main audience is Australia-based, but we do post stuff from events overseas? If we are posting it, is it better to post it for within Australia, so like the
Times?
Yeah,
the time
no, market. For like using like a VPN.
Oh yeah.
To post it, because I know TikTok specifically does it does matter, but like for Instagram, does it matter? Like where in the world you post it from?
Not at all. That's not a thing for them. Yeah. Because we are so global and people are always all over the place posting things with Teams, they don't look at that, especially if it's all posted through business manager access.
And then one final question.
No, you're good.
Hashtags.
Oh,
how many should we be using them?
So good. Facebook, none. Pretty much never been none. Facebook's never been a hashtag thing. It's not. Like people have, you see, okay, you might see hashtags on Facebook because people repurpose their Instagram comment across. That's the only reason why. If you see them over there, that's why. But it's not a thing. On Instagram, I'm going to get you guys to weigh in on this one because I know the answer, but I want to see what you guys think. So between hashtags, you got zero to one hashtags, show of hands. Which one do you like? 0 to 1, any of you in that one? How about 1 to 5 hashtags? Is that the one to go? How about between 5 and 10 hashtags? Is that the one to do? Above 10 hashtags? It's between 0 and 3.
And should it be incorporated within the copy or like at the end, how like you just add them on?
Either or. These days, in the copy, it's pretty cool. Like you add it into the conversation. Can be after as well. Success leaves clues. So if you look for the influencers that are posting, they rarely use hashtags. Reason why is this. Hashtags used to be a search formula that existed. This is how we would search for content. Meta AI is here. Meta AI looks at what you're saying. It can see what you're saying, what you're posting, your text overlays. And now when people search for stuff using Meta AI search, you don't need hashtags. So it's now just finding content based on using its AI.
So why use
them? For fun. It's sort of like a little point to like, hey, this is something that we stand for. Bigger hashtags like events or movements or big industry trends you can use them for. In another year, if you ask me this question, I'll probably say probably they're not going to be around much more. That's what Meta's essentially saying. How much time do we have, you guys? I'm just double checking.
22 minutes.
Okay, I'm just making a call on questions. Can you guys hang on to your questions and we'll get to them a little bit later? All of you, there's like 3 over here. Hang on to your questions. We'll come back to you. I don't want you to forget them. But I also want to cover a few more things. Okay. LinkedIn. Let's just cover LinkedIn briefly. So I know some of you guys are using it. Maybe you want to use it. Professional insight first, sales second. It can look really weird on LinkedIn if you're really flogging your stuff. Like, it's odd. So you're just there, like thought leadership stuff. What you're working on that's exciting and new and the trends that you're a part of and the things that, like the new things that you're launching out into community. All of us on our personal profile have this little activity section. I don't know if you guys know about that, but it's often the area that people make a judgment call if they're going to connect with you. A lot of people, about 50%, will go to this. They'll go, oh, look, so-and-so is connecting with me. Who's this person? They go to your personal profile. They scroll down to your activity. They see how you're posting and how you talk to other people. It's your activity of everything that you do on LinkedIn. Public. So make sure you're using it wisely. Articles are great. If you have articles on your site, you can repurpose them and post them on LinkedIn. Images, great on LinkedIn. Videos, yes. I recommend the square crop because there are users of LinkedIn that use LinkedIn from their desktop computer at work. So vertical can get a little weird for them. Documents are great. If you guys want to do a carousel on LinkedIn, create the multiple images in a PDF and upload it as a document. It will turn into a carousel, which is a swipe across. So it works so well right now that LinkedIn is push notifying people saying, use documents, use carousels. They're good. So loading in multiple teaching points or images or befores and afters as a PDF, when you're creating a post, it will show as a carousel. Newsletters, by the way, you can do LinkedIn newsletters. If you have a newsletter that you send out to your database, copy, paste, newsletter on LinkedIn. I think I have mine. You guys, I have one. I literally put this up 6 months ago. I have 400 subscribers. I don't know how. I've never promoted it. It's just like, okay, cool. I've repurposed my newsletter on LinkedIn, and now I have people subscribing to me there, and whenever I post it there, they get an email from LinkedIn that says, new release of a newsletter. So hey, you got the content, repurpose it. So on LinkedIn, as a reminder, 1-to-1 ratio. 1080 by 1080 is the pixel dimensions. That's that one. Good. Okay. I love the story. It's so good. Now, repurpose. Definitely repurpose your meta education or your insights content and your community content. That can work really well. And you know what, you guys? You can be really creative, more than you think. This right here is a video loop. A client of mine, they do HR outsourcing. So you hire them when you're scaling, you need HR. They filmed, I'm like, Tanya, film something of yourself on a whiteboard. And she goes, what should I film? I go, what do you talk about? The DISC model. Okay, great. Just like point to things on the whiteboard. And she's like, okay. And we filmed a 15-second video clip. We whack some text on top in Canva, POV, point of view. You've repeated yourself 10 times, and your team still looks confused. Am I speaking a foreign language? All right, this, she's like, I don't want to put it on LinkedIn. It's not professional enough. She did. Guess what? She got 2 calls. Why? Because they liked her content. They're like, this is fun. Like, you're speaking to my language. You're in my head. Yes, I can't talk to my team properly. So don't be scared to try new things. This isn't salesy, is it? It's fun. It's like creative, point of view stuff. And you can definitely repurpose some of your content. Sales posts, yes, you do. But here's a little checklist of what I recommend you do on LinkedIn. So you have case studies. They're great. Case studies and client wins. Tell a short story about a client's challenge, what you did, and the measurable result. End with a CTA like, hey, you want the same for your business or yourself? Click here. Problem solution posts, like the problem agitate solution. Still start with a pain point. For example, most trades business owners are working 60 plus hours. Share your framework solution, invite them to book a call. Before and after visuals, pair an image carousel with a CTA. The document I talked about, the PDF with multiple images. Lead magnets, share your best work, as Ken said, right? So you got your share a free resource guide, checklist, webinar. White papers work well, like the one I told you about from Donnie in the accounting space, like compiling industry information and making it available. Whatever you think that would be a nice, valuable piece of information to share. Case studies, by the way. Actually giving away a case study, and people will opt in for that stuff on LinkedIn if it's valuable. Event, webinar invites. This is for a staging company I do work with. We just did a carousel. It was to target local council to hire them to use their stages. It's like 10 slides that just goes across and kind of shows images and how they help and where you might use their certain staging setups. It worked well, by the way. They got calls from it. On LinkedIn, you have company marketing versus business development. So you have your company page, which essentially you put content on to promote what you're doing with the pillars we're talking about. You also have your personal profiles on LinkedIn, which you also can share amazing content like what we talked about. But a lot of this is that you would do outreach through your personal profile over on LinkedIn. So you want to make sure it is good content, good activity, as people are like, who is this person reaching out to me? I'll let you take that shit. All good. Consider using outreach. So we have Sales Navigator on LinkedIn, which is a paid tool. I just use the standard filters in my free account, to be honest. But I love that one, Apollo.io. Have you used Apollo.io? You guys, good. It's so good. It scrapes the internet of like the up-to-date emails. You can search for industries, job titles, seniorities, job companies, and it builds it into a database. It's like really good. So if you do want to do some good solid outreach, WeConnect is an automated tool you can use with LinkedIn as well to help find people and grow your following over there. So those are good ones. Simple DMs, you know? So this is a friend of mine, James Tuckerman. He does some good outreach stuff on LinkedIn. He's caught me a few times. So he's like, hey, Allison, you around? I just finished recording a 9-minute video which runs through the 6 best ways to get consistent lead flow. If you're a consultant or run your own agency, hey, you want me to flick you the link? She's like, yeah, that'd be great. So outreach is like conversational. Hey, I just filmed this. I just created this. We just did this. Might be interested in it. If you are, just let me know and I'll flick you a link. Instead of going, hey, templated email, here's the thing that I want you to have. Just start a conversation. And you can use Sales Navigator. You can use the filters in LinkedIn. You can use Apollo.io. Just be you. You're talking to another person, right? We're going to talk a little bit about boosted posts, because if you're doing all the hard work with your content, you might as well get it out there to more people. So with boosted posts, when does it actually make sense? Well, boosted posts are the simplest way to do ads on Facebook and Instagram. If you post something, you can boost it. Post first, boost second. It's a 60-second setup, roughly, maybe a minute or 2 minutes. Like from the point you post something and you click boost, you can have it up as an ad really quickly. It's cheap amplification. It's great for like, hey, I want more people to see this particular post. It carries over social proof. So if you're boosting a post, let's say on your Facebook page, then you're going to get more social proof or reactions on that post. So therefore, if people visit your Facebook page and see that post, you're going to have more reactions on it because it was an ad. So it's like different than Ads Manager, where you can create a whole bunch of ads that are hidden and on people's feeds. It's used differently. It's kind of like, let's just get this to more eyeballs real quick, make it easy on ourselves. It's great for time-sensitive promotions, event reminders, your top-performing content, testimonials, local reach. So it's just rotating through the pillars. What's working well, you can just boost it. Boost. That arrow would actually be pointing to the boost button, but that's what that is. Yeah, I thought I'd just point it off to the side. Ads Manager looks like this, like way more complicated. Who uses Meta Ads and Ads Manager? Yes, I love it, by the way. I use both. I absolutely use both. A lot of people go, oh, come on, does boosted posts really work? Yeah, why would it still be there? It's only there because people are using it and making money off of it. That's it. Like in Meta, they only keep the tools that work. So it does work. It's a great starting point to get your message out there, to do quick promos, to get more eyeballs, more of your following to see your stuff as well. But if you really want to go crazy, you have Ads Manager, where you can do a lot of other separate campaigns. So you're targeting all sorts of markets all at the same time. You're following up, chasing them with retargeting ads. But I'm just showing this to you because boosting posts is a fantastic way to start. It's easy. All of us can do it, and you will get results.
I see the boost post
as
the tripwire for people.
For Ads Manager. Smart.
Yeah. Just get them started.
Yeah. Get them comfortable seeing some results.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spot on. Because you're actually doing almost all the settings in a boost that you would do in Ads Manager. It just looks a hell of a lot scarier in Ads Manager. It just kind of looks nicer in Boost. We'll do one question because I think it's probably on this.
You were just on Ads Manager. Can you explain the best way to use campaigns, ad sets, and ads?
Absolutely.
It's just such a confusing thing
for
everyone.
It's so confusing. It's so bad. Okay, running an ads in Ads Manager is a 3-step process. Step one, you choose a campaign. A campaign is the name of your promotion. It's essentially that. Like when you're setting up an ad, you're like, this is the name of my promotion. Step two is what we call an ad set. So as you're going through the steps, it's like name of promotion. Okay, cool. Step two, this is your targeting and tends to be your budget. Depends on how you're setting up your budget, how much you want to spend, who you're targeting. Step three, after you go, yep, this is my budget, this is my audience. Next, add. You can pull through pre-existing posts from your pages, or you can create ads in Ads Manager. So it looks really confusing, but it's just like a three-step process. So when you're using this area, you click on the tabs to see different levels of reporting. So if I were to run, like, say, 5 ads, I'm promoting the No Pong Christmas deal, and I'm going to do 5 different ads for that campaign, they're all going to show up in here.
So is the No Pong's Christmas deal the campaign or the ad set?
So the campaign is the promotional folder structure, if we look at
that. So that's for the Christmas deal?
That's the Christmas deal. Yep. And then inside of the campaign is the ad set, which is budget and the audiences. And then inside of that is the ads that you're showing.
So one campaign will have one ad set?
Ooh, it depends.
Okay.
Where we're headed, just so you guys know, with Meta AI and ads, is the answer to that is yes. We're rapidly coming there. So essentially what Meta is doing right now is it's like one campaign, one ad set, and you have something called liquid or flexible or dynamic creative ads, where you're essentially, you have a bucket. Picture like a bucket, metaphorically. And in that bucket, you're like, hey, Meta, here's 5 images, here's 5 videos, here's 5 headlines, and here's 5 captions. Here, you do your thing. And it goes, cool, okay, so I see here that this is kind of your recommended audience and budget. I'm going to dynamically duo make these into ads in complete unlimited dynamic combos to these people. So that's where we're headed, you guys.
So
we create the ads, we create the components.
You create the components, and you let Meta's AI take your bucket and then put it to the people.
So they do intend to ideally simplify this finally.
Yeah, it's still, do you know what? It's going to look like this for a while longer.
Okay.
But yes. And once you get somebody to go through it one time with you, or maybe 5 times, depending, I'll go, oh, yeah, I get it. It's easy. They just confuse the hell out of us with their interface. So, guys, that's exciting news, by the way. I'm testing this right now. I was so scared. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it. So I'm doing this ad in the States for a company, and I'm like, all right, so I'm going to do targeting. So I'm going to target the gender and the demographic and the interests, all the things I used to do, and I'm going to do broad targeting. So I did another one, and I'm like, just women, just in America, just from the age of 18 to 45, I didn't put anything else in. It's getting the best results. The algorithm's done it. The AI is basically, so here's how it works. Because what's happening right now is AI's seeing what all of us are doing on the platforms, and it's reading what's in our ads. So if you're uploading a video, it knows what you're saying. And so it's now basically putting the right ads in front of the right people based on their historical use of the platform. Conversions,
wow.
Leads, leads. I was $2 leads versus $4 leads with the targeting that I've always thought worked best. Insane. This is where we're headed. Performance max on Google ads, same thing. AI is there to let us use it. And it's scary to let go because also we can't see the data like we used to. We're not able to see this exact combo of headline, caption, and video made me the conversion. So if you're willing to let go of that and let AI do its thing, you will tend to get better results. I saw a question.
Sorry, one other thing.
No, you're good.
Is it actually, because there's always the debate, is it listening to people? Is it listening to our conversations? Because, the amount of times you're talking about something and
what
then...
What do you guys think?
And then it... Yeah, we do think so, but then they say it doesn't.
They all do.
But
They are. And they're listening not necessarily through our phone. They're listening through our actions. So if you are on Instagram and you click on an ad and you're like, oh, my God, No Pong, it's there. I want to go check it out. And you're off to the No Pong page. You're back on your Instagram within 1 minute. Your discovery feed is going to change and start showing you beauty, health, wellness, and deodorant products. Because you have shown intent. You've clicked not only on a post that's promoting a product, but you've gone to a website. That's how they're listening to you. The second you click on something, your discovery feed is going to change. It's crazy.
Does it have a bias?
Does it have a bias?
Like it can shift
It doesn't. Give me an example. We're talking bias. It has. It shares stuff with you based on you. So based on your history, like you might, if you do the exact same flow as your friend, you will see very different content. Do we have a question in the back? Yes.
Random question. Like I use virtual assistants.
Yeah.
And they were posting on my page, and then anyway, I did a post or boosted post or whatever, and I used the AI version, and I started getting like hundreds of followers in the Philippines. So, like, do you have any information on that? I had to cut that off because it's not my target market.
Was your post like, okay? So that could be based on if they used a VPN or not, picking up on their location. It could also be the quality of the content. Is it speaking to the right person, I guess? Would be
we
the
weren't speaking to Filipinos at all.
So that's VPN, perhaps, could be location-based.
We fixed that part, yeah, but I'm a bit scared to go back to AI it do it, you know?
Here's what I look at. Go in your insights, so your metrics, and look at your audience and see where they're based.
Okay.
Because sometimes over the years, what's happened is we might not have known it if we've outsourced work to get followers. And we get followers, we have no idea, they're from India or the Philippines, kind of through these farms that used to exist. And sometimes if you have a heavy follower base from the Philippines, that could just be the answer.
Okay.
So start there.
Thanks.
Yeah, great question. Yes, here, and then we'll go here. And then I'll show you the framework that you need so we can finish up.
Thanks, Josh. This is Facebook specific.
Yeah.
You mentioned like the eyeballs are falling off it and it's dropping for the first time. Where's it kind of going as a platform? Because you kind of always hear nowadays, oh, don't really bother with organics, just a pay to play space
on Facebook,
now.
And,
yeah.
Mostly.
What's your thoughts on where it's headed?
Yeah, look, so mostly pay to play over on Facebook. The majority of people that use it organically are for community groups. So membership groups and community groups and older demographics. So if your market is older, you can still use it and tend to get some engagement. Or you want to like slide in there real quick when people are on there for community groups. But it is primarily pay-to-play over there. Where are they going? Well, they're getting older, and then everyone else is kind of going on to TikTok and other platforms. So if you're posting content, I'm always in the mind of, well, if you're doing it already, just repurpose it. So I tend to start on Instagram and repurpose on Facebook and make my life easy. Yeah, it's good. Question over here. Thank you.
With Meta Verified,
yes.
we pay monthly.
Yes.
We haven't really noticed anything, but apparently there are benefits.
Mm.
What are your thoughts?
I asked this question too, and I didn't really get a clear answer that there's benefits. Do you know I'm still not even certified on LinkedIn? Like, and I play in this space. Yeah, look, it's a vanity thing. It's more like, hey, I have the tick. So, yeah, and I literally said, guys, what's the benefit? And they're like, well, it's kind of the, you know, people wanted the check mark the influencers and brands had, and that's why we have it there.
Can I tack on to that question?
Yeah.
The only reason I've got it and I ever recommend some of my clients having it is if they run into trouble with Meta, so you actually have a direct line of communication with them.
Could do, yeah. Yeah. It still depends. It depends, I guess, on what you're asking for. But yeah, it's a very valid point. It is a trust builder. It's added steps to kind of show up in Meta's eyes because you're paying them money as well. Anytime you pay them money, you get better support. So, yeah, good. Excellent. Okay, we're going to move on and close this thing down. So with your post, if you're doing your boosts, pick a post that already performs well because organically it has good base. And then if you boost that, it'll get you better results. Start with a low budget, reply to your comments and DMs. A lot of people forget this in ads. If you have DMs coming to you or comments, make sure you're answering those. I've seen a lot of ads and boosted posts where suddenly all these comments come in and people just forget to answer them. If comments stop or go negative, just stop it and then just move on to the next one. Make sure you do the 9x16 with the safe zone because that will allow you when boosting it to hit all of the different placements available to you. And a clear call to action. I'm going to show you, this is a friend of mine, / client, owns a gift-giving company in New Zealand. He's like, yeah, like, I'm a farmer. I bought this gift-giving company. You know, I just feel like I just want to speak to the everyday bloke like myself. I'm like, all right, cool. Go take some photos of your animals.
and like, let's test something. So he took a photo of one of his horses, says, Christmas is coming, don't leave it too late, get a meaningful gift now from, and it says some other text. And it says, quit horsing around and do it today. This guy's a farmer. He bought a gift-giving company. He writes, it's just like spelling errors, okay? This one, this is like one of his family members received a gift but forgot to send them one. Hit the emergency help button, labeled, shop now. He forgot to do the like closing bracket. you guys, okay, performed better than the agency he had hired. It's crazy. It really spoke to his target market. Unassuming, unpolished content can work best on social media. High return on ad spend. So we have the catalog sales ROAS, which is the $98.25 per purchase. And then we have the Christmas catalog sales. He labeled it wrong, but his is the bottom one. It's $20 per purchase. So the agency's like, I'm coming in here. I'm going to get fancy with this. And it didn't work. So all this to say, take weird photos. Try weird and wonderful things. It's a horse. These guys, like, all they did, collect B-roll. They're a cafe. They just collected a whole bunch of B-roll, footage on their phone, walking through the venue, filming events, just edited it together in quick edits, and then boom. We have these little lovely walkthroughs, like, hire our venue. And it's just on a phone. His dates filled for Christmas, and he had bookings for other events halfway into 2005. This was a campaign from a year before. And exposure to his business overall increased his bookings. He had about 4 ads similar to this. Photos mixed with video walkthrough of the venue. You don't have to be fancy. Seriously, it's this fancy stuff that not necessarily performs the best. Weird and wonderful. Think of the horse when you're testing new things. I'm serious. So you guys in your workbook have a 6-week campaign little worksheet, and it's essentially laid out for you to brainstorm pillars. And the idea is this. 6 weeks before selling, so think of a campaign, something you want to promote, the Christmas No Pong, for example. Whoa, yes. We have education. Start on the education piece about 6 weeks before you're going to really hit the sales. Community as well. So education, community. Start nailing that in. Like, start posting that stuff. Build momentum. Get the algorithms going. Because anytime you send somebody off to your site from a link, you get less engagement. You're taking people off Meta. So do a lot of the cool content to get the algorithms happening. Cool, fun videos, community stuff. Then, last 2 weeks, boom, sell. You're layering it in with everything else that you do. Promote your offers, show previews, countdowns, flash deals. By now, if you map your campaign out, you would do behind-the-scenes content, tips, aha moments, community, testimonials around the thing that you want to sell, and now you get to work selling it. So you have this little checklist. You want to brainstorm first, map out your content pillar ideas, build up your media library, so start compiling stuff now, photos, videos, on your phone. Plan number 2, you plan it. Once you brainstorm some ideas with your team or yourself, rotate through the pillars, start to map out what you're going to say, build the landing pages and the systems, write the captions, create the creative assets. 3, go to town scheduling, whether it's a third party or it's inside of Meta or LinkedIn. And then you basically make sure you choose the right ratios, vertical, safe zone, LinkedIn, square. Boost, select your top forming posts, target the right audience, and set the budget and the timeline. Brainstorm, find a tool that's going to work for you. This is Trello for me. What does it look like? Where can you dump your ideas? No right or wrong, but do green brain thinking. I learned that from these guys. I love it so much. Green brain it out. Dump the ideas. Number 2. Planet spreadsheets, I like Google Sheets, but you can choose, doesn't matter. There's no right or wrong. As long as you have some sort of way of talking to your team or yourself and mapping out your campaign, I color code pillars as well. AI can help with your planning, remember. Literally gives you full calendars like this. You can just ask it. And then schedule, simple, right? In Meta, you go into your planner.
It looks like this. You create a post. You can choose to create on Instagram or Facebook at the same time or independently. On LinkedIn, it looks like this. Create a post, hit the little clock in the bottom, and it will let you schedule all your LinkedIn posts. Simple. Let's recap. All right, align your posts with the three content pillars we spoke about: tips, community, sales, or conversion. Then repurpose your content ideas to LinkedIn. Just choose the ones that are not so salesy. That's the only rule of thumb. Boost what works to amplify, and map out your six-month campaign in your workbook. That's a real simple little plan. Literally, it's like brainstorm your pillars for a campaign that you want to promote, and then you'll have something that you can now take to the team or actually go with yourself and create your content. And if you want to reach out to me, you can email me. That's my email. I answer the emails. You can find me online as well. I have a podcast called The Hustle Rebellion. These guys have both been on it. Love you to follow that too. You guys, thank you so much. I love being here. So good.